Studio One at the worldwide headquarters of ESPN and from Studio HD in Atlanta, Georgia, this is Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
Put my name up in the light!
The season might be over for the Giants. This felt like a great tease a few minutes ago, so I'm going to do the exact same thing. The season might be over for the Giants. But has the hard work just begun? It's Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. All you got to do is say, hey, Smarty Pants, play ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And look, Harry, some years are about figuring out if you have building blocks. And I genuinely mean that. Like, I think the Bears went into this season trying to say, do we have a building block at the quarterback position that we can trust? And they got that answer. And I think that answer is squarely yes. I think if you're the Jets, you walk out of this season and say, playoffs or not, we realize we have foundational elements to this offense that we love. If you look at teams that have managed to have big years, it's easy to look at it and say, even if you didn't make the playoffs, did you figure out if you've got your guy? Well, the Giants did make the playoffs, and in the process of making the playoffs, got a lot of answers, I think, about two incredibly important players, Saquon, obviously, and Daniel Jones. But it leads to the question of what's next, particularly with Daniel Jones, because you and I said it earlier, there's a report on ESPN Plus right now that says NFL front office insiders expect Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow both to make more than $50 million a year. So the decision to keep Daniel Jones isn't just about the keeping a quarterback. It's also about fair market value for a quarterback that played well enough but maybe didn't. I don't know. It's a difficult offseason for the Giants.
It is, and I don't know how you keep both guys and signing and plan on signing both guys to a long extension and it being fair to the organization and being fair to both of these players. I don't see how that's going to happen. So the only thing that comes to my mind is when I think of this, I think the New York Football Giants are basically going to sign Daniel Jones to an extension. We know how the running back position has played out the last few years. Once you pay these running backs, the play of these guys and the trajectory of their careers have gone downhill more so than it has uphill. And with that being said, I look at the Giants and where they're sitting in the draft for 2023. They had the 25th overall pick. I see two guys in this draft. Number one, Bijan Robinson, and I don't think he's going to be there at 25. Okay. But there's also a guy named Jahmyr Gibbs that played at Alabama, was at Georgia Tech, transferred to Bama, had a phenomenal year for them. And actually, you know, from an offensive standpoint, was a lot of the main reasons why they were in games, especially when we seen Bryce Young go down. I'm looking at that spot at 25 for the Giants, and I understand they have other needs and things they need to get on their football team, but you do have free agency and you have the rest of the draft as well. I can actually see them drafting a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs at 25, and now he's on his rookie contract, but you get a guy that's probably going to be more explosive. You get a guy that can run the football from various spots on the football field. You also get a guy that can do it in a return game. And you also get a guy that's good in the pass game. So do the Giants start over with a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs and save a ton of money and pay Daniel Jones what they feel like is a fair value for him? Or do they try to find a way to make it work with Saquon Barkley? Me personally, Bijan Robinson is not going to be there. I look at the Eagles and where they're going to be drafting. I think that's a spot where the Eagles are going to take Bijan because of Miles Sanders being a free agent. So you look at two teams right now in the NFC East, and the Eagles potentially taking Bijan Robinson with their pick, but you're looking at the New York Football Giants taking Jahmyr Gibbs with that pick late in the round as well.
Well, it becomes interesting because the Giants have the franchise tag, so they can protect one of these two players. They also currently have the third most salary cap space today without reworking anything. Nobody's reworked anything. If you guys haven't seen the numbers, they're jarring when it comes to the Bears. They have about $92 million in cap space. I say that again, $92 million, which means, by the way, imagine walking into a store and knowing that no matter what, you can afford anything. That's who the Bears are right now. Like, I walk into a fancy store, I put my hands in my pockets because I'm afraid I'll buy it and I can't replace it. Now, the Bears can walk in anywhere and be like, we can get whatever we want on this open market. Second most cap space currently is the Falcons at $56.6 million, the Giants at $54 million. They have plenty of salary cap space. They could easily rework some contracts also to try and get themselves even more money. So I think they have the money to spend. The question is, do they want to spend it? Because you make a great point. Like, there's a yeah, but to all of this. If you're somebody that believes, hey, don't pay a running back. Well, yeah, but Saquon's been great. Yeah, but you don't pay a running back. If you believe that Daniel Jones is only giving you portions of what you need to see to invest at the $40 million level, then you look at it and say, yeah, but there's been bad from Daniel Jones too. So, like, I think you could make the yeah, but for everybody. But also, if I'm Brian Daboll, I'm so far ahead of schedule. I don't love the concept of starting over at two major positions. Devin, you're the big Giants fan extraordinaire. What you know this team better than anybody. What are your thoughts?
I think I agree with Harry in terms of extending Daniel Jones. That's their top priority. And Joe Shane even made it known yesterday that, like, he is their main priority. He was a little bit more coy in answering the question about Saquon Barkley in terms of the money and the negotiation. I have a question for Harry and you, Fitz. When you're running back, how much is the money important versus the years? Because obviously you're playing a position where you're going to get hurt a lot. Like, is the years almost just as important as the money you're getting?
No, I only care about the guaranteed
yeah. money is the most important.
Yeah,
especially with NFL contracts, because we know the fully contracts of NFL players aren't guaranteed. So that's why so much focus is on the guaranteed money with every player. It doesn't matter what position it is.
Yeah, to me, it's all about just the guarantee on this, right? Like, you want to get as much out of the gate as you possibly can. And I've said this to Devin on the side, too. I think it's really interesting because there are parallels right now to Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley, both guys that are in negotiating situations, both guys that have missed time at different times throughout the course of their career to injuries, both guys coming off of really important seasons for their teams. I wonder how much each other is looking around and saying, okay, what's the market going to be? I mean, we're going to get a really good example of Saquon, who I think is one of the top five running backs in the league when he is healthy and playing the way that Saquon can play, much like Josh Jacobs this year was the leading rusher in the NFL for a reason, right, behind a bad offensive line. So it all sort of speaks. But you're right. Joe Shane, the Giants GM at the press conference on Monday, made it very clear when he said this about Daniel Jones and wanting him back.
We'd like Daniel to be here. Again, he said it yesterday. There's a business side to it, but we feel like Daniel played well this season. He's done everything that we asked him to do, and you know, again, there's a business side to it. We haven't went down that road yet. You know, we still got to have our meetings with our staff late in the week, and we'll devise an off-season plan. But we haven't had those meetings yet. But we would like to have Daniel Jones back.
Harry, I think it is a little interesting because what you have there is Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, saying very clearly, we want him back. But also the follow-up statement, there's a business side to this. If you hear what Daniel Jones said immediately, his first statement was, I want to be back. Of course, there's a business side to this. Both sides have sort of qualified the, we want to be here. Like, they want to be in a relationship. They want to get hitched. There's just a business side to this. Now, the question is, when the Giants say there's a business side of it versus when Daniel Jones says there's a business side of it, they're saying the same thing. They might have two very different meanings to what there's a business side of this is, though, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I will also say, if I'm Brian Daboll, if I'm Joe Shane, if I'm the front office, the Mara family, right, I'm looking to have my quarterback be in stone. Now, granted, I do believe that this past season, Saquon Barkley was the most important player because everything went through the run game. But you also got to look at all the guys from the running back position that will also be free agents. So you may be able to sign a guy that you think can carry the load and draft a guy in Jahmyr Gibbs, right? You're basically getting a two for one. I think that's an option for the Giants, and still bring in more firepower at the wide receiver position and revamp the offensive line and add more pieces to it.
Yeah, but the other side of it is, and we both know this covering the draft so much, you know there's going to be a beast of a wide receiver sitting there. Like, the wide receiver class every year, and like, this just should become a shot game. Like, just when you watch the draft, even our draft broadcast, the digital portion of it, which over 10 million people watched last year, humble brag, Harry Douglas and I will be back on it again this year. You can watch it on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, the ESPN app for the first couple of days of the draft. Just pour yourself, like, just bring a bottle to the table. And every time me or anyone else says, this is the best wide receiver class we've seen in ages, pour a shot, take a shot, see if you even make it through the first round. I don't think you will. Like, we say it every year. So to me, there is this moment of, man, you're right. Like, you could attack the running portion of this aggressively, but then also look at the way the Bills were built. That's what Brian Daboll came from. Do you not want to look at the way the Eagles are built and say, hey, Let's go get the best wide receiver on the open market that we can afford and team him with a great drafted wide receiver and suddenly give two weapons out the gate. Like, if it's me, I'm signing Daniel Jones no matter what it takes. I don't care about the money. It's funny money anyway. I'll figure it out. Then I'm going to turn around. I'm going to franchise Saquon so that I get him for another year. He's going to hate that, but I don't care. I love the idea of paying a wide receiver, drafting a wide receiver, and then in like the third round, maybe take a stab at a running back, and if that works, awesome. Like, Kenneth Walker III was sitting around there after the first round, too. Like, you can get good running backs in later rounds. Then I've given myself weapons.
But here's the thing about the running back position. When you're talking about a guy in the system that Dable's running, he has to be a guy that can run between the tackles and run on the outside and be able to be a route runner and a pass catcher coming out of the backfield. That's Jahmyr Gibbs to me. I'm more likely, if that's the kind of dynamic I need at the running back position, which is very valuable, then I can find me a wide receiver in the second or the third round, or I can try to find me one in free agency.
All right, so Devin, you've got the perfect solution. What
is it? There is a wide receiver that's still in the playoffs right now that Giants Twitter wants bad, and a lot of people are willing to give up the 25th pick to get him. Brandon Ayuk out of San Francisco, a young guy who's proven that he's really good. I'd be willing to give up the 25th pick to get Brandon Ayuk on the team and then go from there.
I don't know if I'm San Francisco if I take that trade.
I'm not doing that.
I don't know that I take that trade.
All right,
Harry and I are going to be the trade poopers, by the way, for the rest of. We're going to just start letting you guys call in with your trade ideas for the offseason, and we're just going to shut them all down. Fitz and Harry is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Sean Payton right now could be a coach anywhere today already. The question is, why isn't he? And I think the answer is telling. We'll talk about it next. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio.
Fitz and Harry, the podcast.
It's fun for a little bit, but it's more once you get in the locker room, you're just, all right, now let's move on to the next one.
They were number one in several categories throughout the regular season, and they displayed why they were the number one defense tonight.
The biggest thing in playoff football is just to get the win, however you can, by any means necessary.
I mean, we knew we had to come out and play great football against a great Dallas team. That's a great football team.
I mean, we got a big game this week, and that's not our ultimate goal either.
We love to make things complicated. We love to bring big names together. And we love a phrase I like to call confirmation bias that I learned from a podcast. I love The Prosecutors. Confirmation bias basically says we want it to be this, so we're going to read the information in a way that makes that the case. We've done that a lot with Sean Payton. But maybe the evidence is there that just speaks to the fact that Sean Payton is not going to be coaching anywhere this year. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and of course on your smart speakers. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Hear me out. Sean Payton's already a free agent. Like, I know that he's contractually obligated to New Orleans, and trade talks for that could have started anytime. Anytime, anywhere, anyhow. If a team wanted to make a move, they could have already aggressively begun that process. Teams could have begun the process right away. There is no waiting period, waiting for Sean Payton's team to get eliminated. You're not waiting for the Super Bowl or the end of championship week or a break where you can finally interview. My guy's just showing up on TV, hanging out, and then coming back and waiting for interview opportunities. So as he finishes in Carolina and he finishes in Arizona on Thursday, it looks like, and Diana Rossini points out that the Ducks are starting to line up for him to possibly have another suitor. The question is, like, why now? I mean, if you really want Sean Payton, you could have already had him. All you had to do, if you're Dallas, you could have already interviewed other candidates to fulfill the Rooney Rule and right now be flying Sean Payton to Dallas for an interview that turns into an introductory press conference. Like, I think we become obsessed with the concept, Harry, but the actual reality doesn't seem to be putting everybody together in Camp Payton.
Also, I think when you look at the betting world, I think Sean Payton has become the favorite now to land with the Denver Broncos as well. So I don't know, Fitz. And, you know, a lot of these teams and their organizations and, you know, the owners and general managers and team presidents, they have their own separate reasons on why, you know, they may want to wait a certain time period to hire a coach or, you know, go ahead and solidify things in writing. But Sean Payton on the opposite side may have his, you know, ways and reasons for not signing with guys or whatnot. And we don't know. We don't know between the organizations and Sean Payton. But what we do know that Sean Payton is one of the hot commodities. He's a guy that a lot of teams are looking forward to making his next head coach. Now, granted, who is he going to be with? We don't know. And also, what's the compensation going to be for the New Orleans Saints? I will say this. If he ends up with the Carolina Panthers, and there's no question in my mind that if he stays in the NFC South, right, that the New Orleans Saints are going to ask for an overhaul for Sean Payton, and rightfully so, because if I'm going to give him away to a team that I'm going to be playing twice a year, you're going to have to compensate me in the correct manner.
I still think it'd be amazing if the Saints just let Dennis Allen go and brought Sean Payton back there. Like, make things simple for us. But I understand the sex appeal behind all of it, especially when it comes to the Cowboys, because frankly, everybody wants the Cowboys to be something that they're not right now. And the Cowboys are a pretty good team. I keep saying this all week, that lost to a better team. I do agree that change is needed, but I'm not sure that change comes in the form of Mike McCarthy. Even look at the tweet that was so controversial yesterday, where the Cowboys Twitter account points out Dak Prescott's turnovers. It didn't say our turnovers. It didn't say play calling. It didn't say coaching. It didn't say we. It said Dak Prescott. Like, the organization is blaming Dak because they're protecting Mike McCarthy. Like, all of this makes sense, not based on trying to piece a bunch of things together, but based on what we're actually seeing. He's not buying it? Okay.
I don't know.
I think you're right. Kellen Moore should be looking around wondering what his future looks like. That's the one change.
But here's the thing for me. It's hard for me to compartmentalize that we talk about Dak Prescott and the like this season and having those quarterback issues and turnover issues, but yet we keep praising Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. Can someone help me understand how that makes sense to me, like to anyone?
It doesn't.
Help me, for real, seriously. Help it make sense to me. Because if you're the offensive coordinator and part of your job is to coordinate the quarterback position because you're over the entire offense and your quarterback has been struggling with turnovers this season, I just don't get it, man.
Your quarterback
makes no sense to me.
Your quarterback is regressed in his ability to read defenses. You had no answer when you lost one of your running backs. Like, in a world where we're seeing what, you know, even the Dolphins were able to do creatively with their offense, when you see what Kyle Shanahan's done with Purdy as the quarterback, you're seeing what great offensive minds can do. I don't know why we're even trying to.
You got guys like the defensive coordinator for the Bengals and Lou Anarumo showing ways to stop Patrick Mahomes on multiple occasions, showing ways to stop Josh Allen in the Buffalo Bills offense, and they continue to win, and that defense continues to be a bright spot, and he hasn't gotten one interview for a head coaching job. Make it make sense to me, because it really doesn't, Fitz.
None of it makes sense. Mike in South Carolina wants to chime in on the Cowboys. Mike, thanks for calling us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Oh, Mike. Mike was going to say, apparently we just lost his call. Mike, according to the screen, was going to say he can't bring back all three. Can't bring back Moore, Dak, and McCarthy. I agree with that. I just think that Moore's the easiest one to get rid of. Like, you have at least seen, seen good from Dak. You're not getting rid of McCarthy at this point, I don't believe. So that means
I'll tell you, Dan Quinn's going to be gone. Dan Quinn is going to get a head coaching job somewhere. So you can go ahead and say Dan Quinn's going to be gone.
Any concern about, I mean, not concern, concern's the wrong word. How do we judge Dan Quinn's previous head coaching ability?
Well, I would say this, because I'm here in Atlanta, and I was able to watch it closely. Watching him in Dallas versus watching him when he's in Atlanta, and I understand one was a head coach, one was a coordinator, I think he learned how to adapt and not be so entwined with the system that he runs. I think he has made the system more versatile. And I think having a guy like Micah Parsons will force you and allow you to do things like that and allow you to grow in those regards versus being stubborn in your ways and playing your defense that you're accustomed to when he was here in Atlanta. Now he's with the Dallas Cowboys, and you have so much flexibility with the dynamic playmakers, and especially a guy like Trayvon Diggs, what you could do on the back end, and Micah Parsons, and then you got DeMarcus Lawrence. Now he's been able to learn how to be more flexible and versatile as a defensive play caller. And I think that's going to benefit him more being a head coach the second time around versus more so the first time around?
You know, I talked to a former NFL head coach. I've been a head coach a couple of times. And what was interesting to me is he said the first time around, he could never figure out what to focus on. The first time around, it was, you know, all the little minutiae that didn't matter in the building and that suddenly became your it took time away from you. And he said the second time around, he was better because he had a better understanding of what to focus on. That's why I do believe sometimes second-time head coaches can work out. It'll be interesting to see what that opportunity looks like for Dan Quinn. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you hang out with us. That's how you get in on the conversation. In the meantime, one thing we all know. Wide receivers, the divas, they need to be coddled. They need to be held. Wide receivers constantly coming in with the motion. Right. Wide receivers always making things complicated. But what do you do? Well, one of the biggest wide receivers in the entire league uses the most public of platforms to express their emotions.
You got to show me love.
We'll talk about it next. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio.
You got to show me love.
Fitz and Harry, the podcast. One of the NFL's best teams will stay alive on the road to the Super Bowl.
Burrow in the shotgun with Chase, takes the snap, leaves the pocket wide open over the middle is Ja'Marr Chase, touchdown. Bengals threatening again, Burrow back corner of the end zone, wide open Hayden Hurst. It's been a flawless performance by the Cincinnati Bengals today.
The Cincinnati Bengals are headed for the AFC Championship game.
ESPN 1530 on the call.
Sing it, girl.
Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. We've lost Harry for the segment. He's just going to be dancing.
I'm here, baby. I'm here.
He's just going to be dancing.
I'm here, multitasker.
I think we all know that there's nothing worse than wide receivers, right? Like, oh, it's always something with wide receivers.
You see, I just need somebody that cares.
Yeah,
I just need somebody that cares.
So, you know, the funny thing is somebody already tweeted us and said, you're talking about Stephon Diggs? I got no problem with it. Let me clearly say we are about to talk about Stephon Diggs, right? And I have no problem with any of it. I can't make that any clearer here. It's Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, Fitz and Harry. And for anyone that didn't see it, he blew up on the sidelines. And then yesterday tweeted, want me to be okay with losing? Nah. Want me to be okay with our level of play when it's not up to the standard? Nah. It's easy to criticize my reaction more than the result. You know what? I got no problem with any of it, Harry. When you've got a passionate athlete on the sideline that he's living in that moment, I'm not going to fault him for it. And frankly, I think the reaction of the guys on the sideline says a lot. When you know that you're working with somebody like that, you got no problem with it either. We didn't see Josh Allen pushing back. We didn't see any other players clapping back to it. Everybody seemed to be fine with it. So I don't know why we're freaking out.
Yeah, Fitz, I would say I'm leaning on some of my experience. And I play with guys and teammates like, you know, Stephon Diggs, who was passionate. I was a passionate guy and just wants to win at the end of the day. I can respect having a teammate like that versus a guy that's okay with losing and trying to club and go party after just getting your ass kicked. You see what I'm saying? I can respect Stephon Diggs in so many different ways. And I want to take the listeners down memory lane and Buffalo Bills fans. What was Josh Allen before Stephon Diggs pulled up? Because I took you back to 2020 where Stephon Diggs had 1,500 yards and, you know, 8 touchdowns. And then in 2021, 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. And this year, 1,400 yards and 11 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs just wants to win the game of football at a very high level. And sometimes when the games are going on and there's crucial third down plays, and I don't see Stephon Diggs being looked for from his quarterback, or I don't know if it's by coverage or play design, if it's supposed to go somewhere else, it bothers me because he is the only natural wide receiver on that roster. And when I say natural, I'm talking about route running ability. I'm talking about home run hitting ability. I'm talking about catching the football just in a natural way. That is Stephon Diggs in my eyes. And he's the only guy that they have on their roster that's like that. So when you have a third and four or you're in key moments in ball games, I don't think Josh Allen should be looking for any damn body else. I think Stephon Diggs should be the guy to be looked upon. Now, don't get me wrong. You have Gabe Davis, and they call him playoff Gabe or whatnot. But Stephon Diggs is the engine that makes that skill position group go, right? You have Josh Allen, who's the top guy, and then I think it's Stephon Diggs. And I also believe that his teammate, Stephon Diggs, that is, including his quarterback, Josh Allen, they understand how passionate he is about the game. They understand how passionate he wants to win. And sometimes people on the outside looking in can, you know, misconstrue some things because of what they're seeing. It's the same thing with Odell Beckham Jr. A lot of people, you know, he's blowing up on the sideline. He's a selfish guy. No, Odell just wants to win. And Stephon Diggs is the same way, man.
I think there's a fine line on everything. And no one case on how we emotionally handle things is universal. Like Harry and I, we got a lot of love for each other. So if one of us is having a bad day, one of us blows up, if one of it, like if we both care immensely about what we do every day. Mm-hmm. If one of us is upset after a show that it didn't go well, the other's going to get that. If you are just constantly wearing people out with whatever this thing is, there's a line to all of it. There's a line to what wears people out in any social setting, in any friend group, and in any coworker setting. Like, if you work with somebody, whether you're making widgets or you work at a car factory or you work in a phone room or you work in radio or on stage or on a team, when you work with somebody that cares immensely and you can feel it from them, sometimes that hits. When you work with somebody that's just over the top, dramatic for no good reason, that hits. It's different. To me, that's why the body language of everybody else mattered so much. Like, I didn't catch anybody rolling eyes or being like, here we go again, yet again. This is like, I always wanted somebody on stage when I was playing shows that cared as much about a perfect concert as I did, right? Like, that's just part of my nature. I have no problem with guys looking at this situation and being like, of course he cares. If they don't have a problem with it, why do we?
Well, and I'll tell you, Stephon Diggs is a guy who can be upset, and rightfully so. You look at the game against the Miami Dolphins, in which I mentioned early, and you had the first third and short, and he's wide open to the right, and Josh Allen doesn't get him the football, and they have to punt. You also look at the first third and four in this game. They bring him over in motion, and you know the corner think he's going to run like a mini post, which is a 5 or 6 yard, and then you're going to break it to the inside. He faked that, and then he went deep. But Josh Allen missed him on that ball. You also seen another instance in where you throw him like a 5 or 6 yard stop route and the ball's on the ground. He has to go down and he's signaling for Josh Allen to get it up to me, man, so I can catch it and run and get some yak. You know, all these things are building up on top of losing a football game. But then I'm going to, you know, talk to Ken Dorsey, who's done a phenomenal job this year. But I also think the Buffalo Bills could be more dynamic in play designs. They can be more dynamic and scheme him to get open, even though he doesn't need you to scheme him to get open. But I'm watching how all these other play callers, and they have a dynamic guy, scheme things up so they can, you know, flourish and be in different spots on the football field. Do the same thing with Stephon Diggs.
I look at all of this as the phrase that I now say too often because of the football players in my life. The standard is the standard, right? And there's nothing wrong with great players holding each other to the standard that they know. Like, there's nothing wrong with knowing how to push Josh Allen's buttons. There's nothing wrong with being emotional in the way you play the game. There's nothing wrong in any of that when it's with the context that's accepted by all the people around you. I haven't heard anybody from Buffalo seem to have any issue with it on or off the record. So I think we're making a big thing out of a little thing. And continually, I'll look at this and say, I love passion from anybody. Speaking of passion, we always get it from Aaron Rodgers. Well, Rodgers has spoken yet again today. The latest on Aaron Rodgers' future from Rodgers himself. You'll hear it. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Fitz and Harry, the podcast.
One, two,
Three
is a magic number.
I don't know, man. I think this is damned if you do and damned if you don't. Like, context won't matter to this decision. It should, but it won't, like, in 2 years. If you're the Jets, and because you are waiting on Brady, you decide to take a pass on Derek Carr, because the timing on Derek Carr is much different than the timing on Tom Brady. If you're the Jets, and you decide you're going to pass on Derek Carr because you're waiting on Brady, but then Brady decides he's not coming back, Brady decides it's just not in the cards for him, by then you've missed free agency in the draft. Now you're running it back with Zach Wilson. Now all of a sudden you're talking about a team that, again, is going to be sort of stuck where they are. You could be looking at wholesale coaching changes, wholesale front office changes. Like, that's what happens after mediocrity, all because you waited. Now, the flip side of it is, if you decide not to wait and you go out there and you get Derek Carr, and then 3 weeks later, all of a sudden Brady's like, well, I was ready for the Jets. They just didn't want to give me the time. Everybody's going to get fired.
3 hours later.
Every day is going to bring us more updates on what's next for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. That's just the way the world works. The news cycle never stops. And it's Tuesday. You know what that means. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show has now spoken
one more time
about deciding if he's going to play again. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio. I wish it was one more time, Harry. I feel like this is going to be one more time this week, and then one more time next week, and one more time the week after, while we all, the whole world stops, and we sit down and pay all the attention to Aaron Rodgers that he could possibly want. Can you hear the snark in my voice here?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you know what? I'll just let you hear directly from Aaron Rodgers, because I'm sure this will be wholly satisfying. This is Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show about deciding if he wants to play again.
That's number one, is if I want to play, 100%. And if I want to go through the grind again. And then number two is, that's why I said it was mutual to both sides. It's you know, what does the team look like with me? What are the proposed, direction of different players that they're thinking about bringing in? How do I fit in that? And what are the prospects moving forward? I think that's a part of it, you know, because you want to win a championship, right? You want to be a part of a team that can win a championship. And every team is going to say in the beginning of the season, we can win it. But we know every single year there's about, you know, a handful of teams that have a legit chance. And the four left are all four that I would have said before the season, you know, these four got a chance to win it.
Bro, so listen, did you see the way he said the first time, you want to win a championship? Like, like basically trying to throw shade at everyone who talked about him last week for mentioning the MVPs and talk about the MVPs. A-Rod is something else. That's if I want to, you know, come to work tomorrow, Fitz. That's if I want to do this anymore. I mean, if I want to.
I just can't, you know. And y'all, like, I'm going to be very transparent. He said a lot of things in the interview today that have already come across our radar that I just don't even want to entertain. It's stupid. I mean, just I can't with this. Like, I actually much prefer the Tom Brady approach. Again, Tom Brady was asked if he wants to play. Hear the difference in the two answers. This is how Brady handled it on the SiriusXM show he was on.
Tom, you're leaving everybody guessing. You said you'll take your time. Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to do, I'd have already done it. Okay? I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only the question scratchy that everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
Man, Harry, I just like direct communication. Like, I'm not sitting here. Look, it was a fumble. There's no such thing as a tuck. I'll never be a guy that's like sitting here as the president of the Tom Brady fan club. Like, I don't care. I'm a different woman.
No, it was a
woman.
Tuck. That's what the officials called. I'm not going to let you sit up here and get away with that,
it was a
first
fumble.
Of all.
It was a fumble.
No, it wasn't.
But even he admitted on the documentary it was a fumble. Even he admitted it. He came out and said, look, it was a fumble. All right.
Whatever. Say what you're about
either
to
way,
say. It was a tuck.
I don't care about either of these quarterbacks when it comes to like rooting for or against them. I just want direct communication. Like when he says, if I effing knew, I'd effing tell you. I love that. As opposed to giving me this like big, long, you know, what is it about? And it's going to be a whole process. And, you know, what are they going to do around me? And it's like, oh my God. Even in that answer that you just mentioned, it's about championships. He's also like, but what are they going to surround me with?
Play it one more time, though.
No,
the part of that little part about it.
Cool. I'm going to play Aaron Rodgers.
I'll play
the Aaron Rodgers and then I'll go grab a puke bucket.
That's number one, is if I want to play, 100%. And if I want to go through the grind again. And then number two is, that's why I said it was mutual to both sides. It's you know, what does the team look like with me? What are the proposed, direction of different players that they're thinking about bringing in? How do I fit in that? And what are the prospects moving forward? I think that's a part of it, you know, because you want to win a championship, right? You want to be a part of a team that can win a championship. And every team is going to say in the beginning of the season, we can win it. But we know every single year there's about, you know, a handful of teams that have a legit chance. And the four left are all four that I would have said before the season, you know, these four got a chance to win it.
Yeah, none of those four teams need Aaron Rodgers, by the way. I mean, it should just be pointed out, like, they've all managed to do it without Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. The whole vibe of it just, well, number one, I've got to decide if I want to play. And then I will let them present to me the players that they would like me to play with. And then I will figure out from there what portion of this I want to be a part of. Like, all of it is just so holier than thou throughout the entire conversation around it. It just makes my skin crawl. Like, cool. If you don't know if you want to play yet, that's all that anybody needs to know. But if you're going to sit here and make the Packers beg to prove their love to you when they've already done that fight. Financially,
that's what he needs. We know that's how Aaron Rodgers is constructed. That's what he needs. He needs people to stroke his ego. It's no different from, you know, us guys with our significant others. We just need our ego stroked. Aaron Rodgers just takes it to another level. he literally takes it to another level, man.
You know how I feel about it at this point. Hey, I want to get your thoughts on this. Hank tweeted me because he apparently didn't like our Diggs conversation. And he said, now do all the plays Dak missed since Harry had the Josh Allen roll call. Funny when Dez Bryant used to act like Diggs. People, in all caps, did not excuse him. So, A, I think Hank probably obviously has hearing problems because he didn't hear any of the things I said about the total context of how someone acts should be considered. Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts on Dez Bryant versus Stephon Diggs and the way that we're treating it?
I don't have any thoughts on it.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right. That's it. That's all. Harry had nothing on that one. Did not engaging in that at all. Okay. I still stand by the fact that Stephon Diggs acted the way he acted, and passionate people around him that were teammates obviously felt that they didn't feel some kind of way about it. And the biggest way for me to ever know, like, if I go to you and ask you about one of your teammates, that's going to be a big indication.
That's what it's all about. It's about how your teammates and your coaches and ownership, how do those guys portray you? What do they know about you? And how you are at all times with them as well. I think that plays a major factor in it.
Well, like I said earlier, I think at this point, we've only been working together regularly, daily for, you know, what, a month. But we've been friends for a lot of years. You know me better than a lot of people. So when I act some kind of way, you're going to have a better idea of what the context for that is than anybody because you're around me all the time. So that's why I keep saying, look at the reactions of everybody, the genuine reactions
and
everybody
you definitely
has.
Know me. If it's one thing that makes me tick, what makes me tick?
Well, there's a lot of things that make you tick.
Just name
work,
one. Just name
work, one. Work ethic makes you tick. Respect.
The lack of from other people.
Yeah. Respect makes you tick. No, but you're right. Like you start to get a feel for that, and I think we have to read the body language of absolutely everybody in the process. We can ask Stephon Diggs himself. He'll be on Canty and Carlin. You don't want to miss it today. And thanks for hanging out with us, Fitz and Harry, on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Listening to the Fitz and Harry podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, and you can watch on the ESPN app.